Oh, more people coming. Welcome to those who've just arrived.
I didn't see that pop-up box you were talking about.
Oh, okay. I'll try
Can
again.
You try it again?
Yeah, I'll just put it. It should. Let's have a look. Hello.
Oh, hello. Okay.
You got it?
I get it. Oh, yeah. Wicked. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So just explain the chat to those who've just arrived. Good.
Oh.
Great.
Okay.
So, good. That's come through, has it?
Yeah.
Great. So we may be using that. I'm not sure how it will go, but good. So welcome new arrivals. We're just starting. We will start with a bit of a arriving. How should I call it? A little moment of focusing, you could say, even just a moment of tuning in and arriving with ourselves. So I'll lead us in that, and then I will tell us about the rest of the calls. It's really just a way of orienting. Arriving, settling, grounding, all those things a little bit. So I'll lay this in that. And it'll probably take two or three minutes. The idea, I was reminding someone of this today, the idea isn't when people say, oh, we're going to do, I don't know, a little guided thing, or they suddenly go, oh, I've got to relax. I've got to have an experience. So please let that go. The invitation is just to notice and arrive. In whatever way you are, right? It's just noticing, which may help you relax or feel better or more grounded. But in a way, it's just more important just to be curious. So this is the invitation. Let's spend a couple of minutes being curious together. So I'll say some prompts for that, but also leave some space. So you might be curious and notice your body and particularly how it's being supported, just wherever you're sitting on, wherever you're supported by. Just feeling that connection and that sense of weight or pressure or sensation. So just and using that as a way of beginning to get a sense of your whole body, your kind of shape and your posture, this space you take up. And also noticing the environment you're in as well as that. You might look around or you might just in your mind's eye, sense it. So here's this body, but here's this body in this place that you're in. The body always knows where it is in some way. But you can look around and take it in. And as you do that, acknowledging whatever's present with you right now, maybe that you're still carrying something of your day or worries from your day or some issues or maybe there's something calling in your body physically that's not, doesn't feel okay, that may be there. Maybe uncertainty or maybe it feels great. So just kind of checking in with yourself. How are you right now? What's the quality of it? In your body, checking how you're in your throat, in your belly, your chest, but just like that being curious about the whole sense of how you are right now. So take another half a minute just to continue to be curious. Okay, bringing that to a close. So welcome to this call again. Welcome to this exploration of what the body knows. Sort of dipping into this topic as a sort of interest in itself and a doorway into what focusing is about. I'll say more about that as a practice in a minute. But yeah, and the overview of the call is we're exploring a little bit. First, just a bit about our attitude towards our bodily experience. I want to talk about that for a moment. And then we'll play a little and just explore through an experiential exploration something of this topic of what. Anyway, yeah, what does the body know that the mind might not, you could even say. And we'll talk a little bit about what we call in focusing the felt sense, which is really what we're tapping into in focusing. I'll say more about that. And we'll look at specifically this question, what does a body know? What does it know and what doesn't it know? We'll also look at a little bit at those two, you know, very direct questions, because people talk about tune into your body or follow your heart or like, but what does all that mean? Like what does it know that we don't know yet? So that's what we're going to explore a little. Going to be time for questions. You can either ask through chat or you can ask just by unmuting yourself with a small group like this. Either it's easy, either way, I don't mind how you do it. Good. So let's begin. Yeah, just going to give you some everyday examples. Maybe these are familiar to you. Some everyday examples of body knowing, let's call it that, of situations where we feel something that's different from what you might call cognitive knowing or just knowing in our minds. So great, an example I like to give is say you've met up with somebody, had lunch with them, and something they say niggles you and it kind of rubs you up the wrong way. We have all these expressions for it, don't we? We leave feeling like, oh, there's something funny going, there's something not right about that conversation. Anyone had that kind of experience? Yeah. It could be work, it could be any kind of situation. You're like, and sometimes you just don't know why. You just feel that sense of something was not okay about that conversation. And maybe later on, you know, you might dwell on it a little and talk about it. And in the talking, you go, ah, yeah, that was it. They said that and it really touched something in me about, I don't know, some sensitivity, whatever it is, some sensitivity or some other issue, but you kind of realize and it feels good to know. Oh, right, that was it. So it's almost like our body knew something and we didn't get it up here yet. It takes a while to sift up. Well, sometimes we never get it. We just get to bed and well, next day it's gone, you know, or it hasn't gone, but it's like, I don't know why I felt weird, but we get something that feels different, yeah? Or maybe another example is just decisions. You know, I'm sure you might have had that experience. You're walking, you're going to the supermarket or market or shopping or something, and like, you go, oh yeah, I'll have one of those. And your body goes, don't want it. something in you goes, like, there's some kind of, like, actually, you know, on one level it's not really good for you, but another level you just go, yeah, I'll take it. Thanks so much. Maybe you're not like that, but I am, and I know many people who are. So you kind of feel the sense of really what I need, but and I'm no judgment at all. Everyone has those issues in some way or another. But yeah, we can feel that knowing in our body, and we go, no, it doesn't matter. I'll just do whatever I want. So it's another, in a way, example by contradiction. You know, one we don't follow. Often we feel these things as quiet, like a quiet voice. You know, like kind of yes or no, or our body, and we may or may not listen to it, right? So the kind of decision, but also a big decision. You know, but everyone here has had that experience when you're looking for a house to live in and you look at a few and they look great on paper, but when you get there, you're like, no, it's not right. You just feel on some gut level, even almost as like you're getting before you even get in the door sometimes, like this feeling of no or maybe or yes, you know, like very, just a kind of, well, we would call that a felt sense. The body knows something, if you like. There's some kind of knowing that you can't put into words yet. So does that make sense so far? Those examples, very everyday examples. A sense of place as well is a kind of good, you know, like places have atmospheres or our body responds to places. That's a kind of different, another kind of body knowing. I had a friend of mine who used to be from Scotland but then didn't spend much time there, and she said, oh, as soon as I get north of, I can't remember what it was, Carlisle, something in me relaxes. She's like, oh, it feels at home, you know, And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. Like something relaxes. And maybe there's other places in the world that are like that for you. Or when you get in your own door. So yeah, that's all examples of this body knowing. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
That's right. I'm just doing a bit of an intro to this topic of what the body knows. So just to get you up to speed.
Yeah, I was struggling with Zoom.
Okay, I'm glad you're here now. So.
Okay. Good.
So yeah, I thought we'd play with that a bit in this call experientially. But I wanted to say two things about our attitude before we begin that as a lead into it. And one I've already mentioned, curiosity. Someone's put a comment here. Great. Yes. I assume if it says to everyone, then that means everyone can see it, but I'll read it out. So when you're reading things, you check in my body whether what you're reading rings true. Exactly. That's a great example of it. We have this touchstone somewhere. Yeah, that's right. That's true. Or like, no, that's not. You know, that's a great example. So we're going to do some experiential explorations. We're going to give you two different situations, just kind of remembering two different things, and then invite you to see what it feels like in your body. Especially if you're new to this might be bring something new. But before that, yeah. So what two qualities? Curiosity. That's the first one. I'm going to put it in the comment because in capitals. Curiosity. That's the best. That's such a helpful quality in this work. This capacity to go, oh, I wonder what's going on, you know. So it's very my sense of it is very kind of light. It's like, oh, kind of, you know, can I be curious, can I notice it? So yeah, that's one quality. And the other one is, it comes from a quote by someone called John O'Donohue, and see if this is the right word, but I think it fits. He has this quote. He says, when you approach with reverence, great things move towards you. When you approach with reverence, great things move towards you. So I love that quote. And it's like a sense of reverence. And what I mean by that here is that our body does know something more than our mind. And in a way, it has a much deeper wisdom than our mind. I mean, maybe just our kind of rational side of our mind. It's a slightly clumsy division using body and mind, but you know what I mean. There's a bigger knowing that exists. So I'm going to call that reverence. In the sense of there's respect or like, wow, you look like there's something there that it knows. And when you think about how a body heals itself from an illness, I mean, I feel reverence. I feel awe, you know. So, but this goes in more, you know, opens up more. So with those two qualities in mind, or at least one of them, let's be curious. So how this worked is I'll just lead us through these two different imaginings, rememberings, and invite you during that just to check in. How does it feel inside me? How does it feel in my body? So we'll do one situation and then another situation. So I'm going to give you two different situations, and all you're invited to do is just be curious. Okay, what does it evoke in your body? What does it evoke inside? And it doesn't matter if it doesn't. Doesn't matter if something else happens. Let's just play. So for this, yeah, get yourself comfortable. We'll be, you know, like a few minutes just exploring these two things. You can have your eyes open, eyes closed. I don't mind how you do that. And we'll begin just by noticing your body. On the chair or however it's being supported, feeling that weight, feeling your solidity, the kind of edges of your body, your skin, your clothes, that sense of shape, and also noticing inside your throat and your belly, your chest. And with curiosity, I'm going to invite you to remember a place that you feel a bit edgy in, it's a little bit uncomfortable, or like maybe even a situation that's happened recently, or a kind of place that you're just like, So don't pick the worst one you can think of. Just remembering like some place that felt a bit uncomfortable or like an environment. And if there's an environment it feels a bit, you wouldn't want to spend time there. You find your way out of it. Maybe like a busy train or something, or something simple like that. Spend a moment just recalling it, and then notice how it is in the body, without trying to analyze it. Just feeling the quality, like being curious. What's the quality of this uncomfortable kind of place? Or the quality in your body that this place evokes. And maybe there's a word that describes it, maybe not. But kind of capturing, if you can, a sense of it, a quality of it, before we move on. And then maybe just taking a couple of breaths, pausing. Now inviting you to remember a place you love being in. So remembering it, recalling it, and sensing what happens in your body, inside you. What does this place you love in, what does it bring alive in you? What physical or emotional qualities, the mood? So spend a moment just tapping into that. And then, yeah, letting that fade, if you like, just letting that exploration, imagining fade. And yeah, I'm take a moment looking around. I'm being curious myself, what did you notice? Maybe a difference between one and the other, or anything you observed and noticed in that exploration. It's just touching in, really. It's kind of, may not even have provoked something, but just see what happened. And please feel free to either chat or speak out on the call, I don't mind. So what did you notice? If anything, maybe a difference between
I noticed that my throat was constricted in the first one, in the second one it was relaxed.
Yeah, okay. So one, yeah, I noticed something like that in my chest somewhere, actually. But yeah, so in the first it might be more constricted and then something more relaxed in the throat. Thank you, yeah. Anyone else? Tension in the first, yeah, and in the second, and the second also for empowering, yeah, interesting. So yeah, it brought something empowering. Anyone else want to share?
I didn't feel any change in physical sensation. I kind of expected to feel something in my body, but didn't feel anything. It's just kind of just completely disconnected.
Yeah, right.
But I could feel like an emotion of happiness with the second imagining, but it still feels like a disconnected kind of happiness.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And so I kind of feel disappointed, I guess, that when I talk, when there's this idea of body,
yeah,
I look into my body and then there's nothing there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it might be an issue of language rather than
it might just be me.
Well, good for,
you can say it's just you, Kath.
no I won't, honestly. Because well, I don't know that for sure, but it's more sometimes this language of the body can be deceptive.
Yeah, I know.
Like we're looking downwards into our physical body, and sometimes some people do feel it in like locationally like that, but it can be much more diffuse. So much what we, but it's like in our experience, you know, in your experience, it sounds like you notice a difference. One, the second one is a bit more happy.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you know? I mean, you may not answer this question. How do you know it was more happy? Somewhere in you, it felt different, but it may not be bodily. It might be just like a I don't know, like a weather mood or.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it may. Yeah. So don't worry too much if we can't get like a physical sensation of it. That's one of the pitfalls people fall into with focusing. It's like, I can't feel it in my body, therefore I can't do it. Well, no, I wouldn't say that. So yeah, maybe the rest of the call also adds to this question a bit, because it's yeah, what do we mean by body? This is an interesting thing in focusing. So you'll hear more about that. But thanks for sharing that. That's good and helpful. So I'm going to move on. But that might give you a flavor of like our body responds to situations. Like it can't help but do that. It's been our being. You want to say, maybe when I say body, I'll say our being. You know, responds to situations. It's an alive organism. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to be alive to its environment at all sorts of different levels, on sort of very sort of physical sort of levels around needs or emotional levels or other people, as a social animal, as all that aliveness that it has to have to survive is what, partly what we're tapping into here. So I'll come back to that in a minute. But yeah, so we can't help but notice our knowing about situations. This is what focusing taps into. And Jen Gendlin, the developer of focusing, Eugene Gendlin, he calls it the felt sense. And other people have used this term now, and it's kind of spread a bit about. But as far as I know, he coined it. So I want to read two quotes that describe this felt sense. Just to give us a flavor of it and point us towards it. It's a little bit, I wouldn't say mysterious, but it's might be hard to grasp. Somebody just arrived. So yes, this is two quotes from Eugene Gendlin about the felt sense. A felt sense is not a mental experience, but a physical one. A bodily awareness of a situation or person or event. An internal aura that encompasses everything you feel and know about a given subject at a given time, encompasses it and communicates it to you all at once rather than detail by detail. Think of it as a taste, if you like, or a great musical chord that makes you feel a powerful impact, a big, round, unclear feeling. And the second quote, the felt sense, it says, it has all the meanings one is already living with It has all the meanings one is already living with because one lives in situations with one's body. A felt sense is body and mind before they are split. A felt sense is body and mind before they are split. So we're talking about a kind of maybe like holistic knowing, you could call it. That's not necessarily easy to put into words. This is part of why focusing has its name. You allow it to come into focus. You might put it into words. Like he said, a big, round, unclear feeling, like an internal aura that encompasses everything you feel and know about a situation. So it's about the uniqueness also of situations. Think of when someone gives you a present you don't like. It's a very unique kind of feeling. Yeah, we haven't got a word for that in our language. Some languages have words for that, probably, you know. But that's an experience. You can feel it in our body. It's like it's very situational, and our body feels it. Our being feels it. I don't want it, and I don't know. It has all that kind of quality to it. So it's like the feeling of situations. This is what we're talking about. And the felt sense is a word for that kind of knowing that our body carries. And as I said, it's kind of one level an animal body, you know, the animal knowing, we'll come back to this, but taps into a much bigger kind of sense of, it's almost like the body has this kind of networked, to use a computer metaphor, into everything we've been through, all of our history, and all that we know about something, and all that we feel about something, and even that sense of how we're connected to family and the bigger family and culture. It has a kind of deep knowing about all that that's hard to put into words. There's one of the definitions of right brain and left brain from a recent neuroscientist. He talks about this is like the right brain is whole oriented, like it takes in the whole of something, and the left brain is details. It's how it processes information. So this is very much in that realm of what you might call right brain. It's rather than one being feeling and thoughts or anything like this, but it's how we process, and it's kind of holistic knowing. It's like the mood, the feel of things, and that's one of the that's what we're tapping into. And I think it's a very natural way of feeling, actually. I think more embodied cultures have this anyway. Focusing is not, in a way, nothing new. Focusing is just naming something many cultures already have because they're more embodied. Anyway, I said a lot. I want to pause there around all that. That was felt sense. So that's what focusing points us towards, this situational knowing, this way we know something at a different level. And yeah, just open up for questions for a bit before we talk a bit more about what it knows. But yeah, I'm just wanting to hear anything about what I've said in that last piece. Please type or ask. Any questions? And particularly, I want to check it making sense, of course. That's important.
Can I just ask?
Please.
You haven't mentioned the word intuition.
Ah, yeah, right. I haven't.
And our intuition can be wrong and our intuition can be right. I just wanted to put that in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's intuition is a tricksy word. I mean, we're definitely in the same realm in focusing, and I think why it's, I sometimes mention intuition, and why I steer away from it is exactly because of what you talked about, but because of sometimes, yeah. I don't know, it has kind of for want of a better word, baggage with it, or kind of like, well, I've got an intuition and that's it. So I don't know, I just want to, I can't articulate it now. There we go. There's a felt sense there. but I think you're right. And I think sometimes what we call intuition could also be like something different. You know, like sometimes I think of a situation like at a work meeting, like where somebody's has an idea and you're like, oh, that really doesn't feel right to me. And you could call it intuition, but that doesn't feel right. But then when you examine it later on, it's actually, it doesn't feel right. It's because, I'd rather have had that idea myself and said it. But at first it just appears as like, oh, not right. But when you go into the real thing, it's like, oh, well, maybe that was something else, you know. So we have to be very, yeah, I guess, be curious what's what happens. But I think Gendlin deliberately steered away from using that word intuition, although it points to something in the same territory, definitely. So I want to say a bit about, yeah, well, so what does it know? What does the body know? To point to that a little bit more in detail, and then ask some more questions, and then what it doesn't know, and then say a little bit more about just focusing generally. So what does it know? Well, I just did a short it down the list, you know, you could, of kind of categories of kind of knowings. So one of the things it knows how we are in the moment in great detail. You know that experience you have sometimes when somebody says, how are you doing? And you go, yeah, I'm okay. And you say you're okay, but underneath is like you don't feel okay at all, right? Your body's, you know, actually you don't. And that's a kind of, and again, it points to this in-between, this kind of, all this kind of contrast between what we think, what we say, and what we actually feel. So it knows a lot more about how we are in the moment than we give it credit for. So that's its kind of knowing of a whole situation. I was working with someone today and with one-to-one focusing, and first they just said they noticed anxiety, and then they went towards it, and then they noticed, oh right, this whole, they could really feel the whole situation they're in about. There were lots of things that happened that day that kind of bothered them, that promises that hadn't been kept or commitments hadn't been kept, and other situations. They could feel the kind of all of that in their body about, and then they felt relief, like, oh right, no wonder I feel kind of on edge. They kind of got much more about what was going on for them through that sense of awareness of the body. So yeah, just a sort of direct knowing of how you are. And another kind of knowing we have is around, which is always inclusive in that really, which is about safety and not safety. You know, our animal body knows a lot about that. You know, it knows a lot about our sense of when it, of feeling safe, feeling okay or not, you know, both historically and in the present moment. You know, animals are incredibly, especially mammals, you know, could be sort of in tune with their environment and their situation. So we at least have that, and that's amazing. So we can tap into that, and that's really, really helpful when you're working with trauma or working with things that really touch that issue, which many of us are working with, around feeling safe or not safe. So it knows those things, and it has known them all along. Another kind of thing it knows, which I like to talk about, is what it knows what's missing. It knows what is or was missing. So this is a very instinctive awareness, you could say. And to use an animal example again, I've got a dog, and she, if we go out for a walk as a group, as a family, or whoever is going with us, if one of the, whoever that pack is in that moment, if one of them goes off somewhere, she just really gets restless, you know, like, and it will kind of hold that until she sees them, and later, and then it's like, wow, you're back, and then the tail's wagging and all that. She kind of really knows when someone's missing, or if I go away for a few days, it's like she'll demonstrate that somebody's not there. She hasn't got language for it, but her body shows it, both in terms of how restlessness when I'm not there, and I kind of, yeah, you're back, you know. I mean, I'm giving it feelings that may not be there, but the body, the animal body demonstrates it. But we know we have that really acutely. We really sense, you know, we know when someone's missing, and or when something we needed is missing, or something we need right now is missing. So I like this language of missing. It really speaks to the bodily knowing. It really speaks to what we carry. Yep. And the body knows something about next steps. It knows it's a compass. It gives us a sense of compass of what feels right for us and what doesn't feel right. So I like this way of describing it. It's like, yeah, that way would be good, that way not so good. And then we often feel this, like this example that someone gave when you're reading a book, when something rings true. Like, how do we know when it rings true? That's your inner compass kind of lining up in some way, you can say. It's something resonates. Yes, so that's what it, something about what it does know. And I'm going to end with a quote, end this section with a quote. I love this quote. This is from Eugene Gendlin again. So every bad feeling is a potential towards a more right way of being if you give it space to move towards its rightness. The very existence of bad feelings within you is evidence that your body knows what is wrong and what is right. It must know what it would be like to feel perfect, or it could not evoke a sense of wrong. I'll read it again. Every bad feeling is potential towards a more right way of being if you give it space to move towards its rightness. The very existence of bad feelings within you is evidence that your body knows what is wrong and what is right. It must know what it would like to feel perfect, or what it would be like to feel perfect, or it could not evoke a sense of wrong. So right and wrong here, he's not really talking ethically or anything like that. It's more like that sense of, like it's a very visceral sense of what feels good and doesn't. So when we have a bad feeling, our instinct or habit maybe is to turn away from it. That's me, you know, like, I don't like a bad feeling. I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to push it away. I'm going to numb it out. I'm going to ignore it. But here he's saying, well, actually, every bad feeling is potential towards more right of being if you give it space. Of course, there's a big leap sometimes. Some bad feelings are too difficult to stay with, right? But if we learn to be curious, then this is, I found this to be true. Like, I've sat with some really horrible, icky, ugly, what I labeled ugly feelings. Like, I don't want to feel that. It's just horrible. And then when I tune into it, it's like, oh, right. So great, transformation happens if I really just listen to it, because it's pointing to something that the body knows what it wants in some way. It knows what is wrong. It knows what's missing. You know, envy, for example. You know, I was feeling this the other day. I noticed something. Someone posted something on social media. And I'm like, oh, I hate that person. So I kind of, so I sat with the feeling like, oh, it's really, I really don't like it. I have to work with, first of all, I have to work with all that parts of me that don't like it. And then I sat with it. It's like, oh, there's something I really want. There's this kind of longing that it touched in me that was much easier to have when I touched that. But initially it's like, I don't want it. It's a horrible feeling. So what it knows the direction. That was all about direction, really. But any questions about that? I just wonder. And please ask any questions, including disagreeing. That's all really good. It's fine. Like, I'm not sure about that. That's all fine. Or any other examples of this bodily knowing.
It sounds like it's something that takes time to practice.
Yeah, that's great, and that's right. For many people, it takes a little bit of time to practice. Do you mean practice going to practice?
So, like when you gave your example about what you saw on the Facebook, most of us wouldn't necessarily stick with that.
Yeah.
So it's like a practice that we.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and it's a bit counterintuitive. Like, mostly we with difficult feelings, we don't want to do that. We like I say, we distract ourselves. You know, it's not like I do this every difficult feeling, but sometimes when they come back regularly, you think, oh, okay, there's something there. Yeah, and it takes practice. Absolutely, it takes practice. And then one of the first moves we learn there is how to acknowledge the parts of us that don't like feeling what we're feeling. You know, that's like what we normally label resistance or. So I'm not really talking about parts tonight, but that's another thing. You know, we have a part of us like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to feel that. Okay, that's here too. You know, focusing is a big welcoming space for all of our experience, including our not wanting to feel stuff. It's very human. You know, who wants to feel these horrible feelings? That's fine. Let's have that here. And you sit with that for a while too. So thanks for... So it's practice and also knowing how to be with our, what we label resistance.
Can I ask, why is it often so foggy and difficult to find?
What's foggy and difficult to find?
The bodily knowing.
Yeah. Well,
why is it not clear as a bell? Why is it, it's murky.
Murky. Yeah, it is exactly. That's where the word focusing comes from, because it's murky. I think it's because we're not trained in it. I mean, when I say trained, I mean sort of educated / trained. Like we're not very embodied culture.
Okay.
And I think also we're not very in touch with our bodily needs. I think that's for a variety of reasons. That's been sort of habituated out of us, particularly through, you know, like trauma or adverse childhood conditions, you know, which many way more people have than we think, you know, just like being not attuned very well, you know, so we're not very easily in tune with our gut feeling, because that's not what really got us anywhere. What got us everywhere was trying to be vigilant around us, and then we lose contact with our inner knowing because we had to be vigilant. And then, yeah, there's broader cultural things. I think, you know, it's a very rational culture, very fast, very, a lot of emphasis on details, on what you might call left brain thinking. You know, it's just like, that's the big emphasis in our world. We're not very in touch with these slower, more, at least it feels vague or foggy. So I love it. I love that focusing really, really values not knowing. It values that vague. It values the, you know, my son's just starting a new year at school, and like, it's all about knowing and having the answers and putting your hands up. And yes, and if you don't have the answer, then there's something wrong with you. And I'm like, hang on a minute. There's something wrong about that. Mm. Like, what's wrong with not having an answer and being curious? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't want to smash a whole system, but you know what I mean. There's an emphasis on knowing and getting it right, so they've pointed to a few different collective reasons why.
Thank
it may
you.
Not be your fault, right? It may be just our cultural thing that we live in doesn't value it. Yeah, but great, thank you. Good question.
I think I've got a related question. I don't know even whether it's a question. There's, I have a sense of a disconnect between mind and body, where I may be aware of the body saying one thing, and the mind saying something else. So the mind is with the program that you just described there, the logical program. And so the body's saying something that's maybe contrary to what the mind's saying, and there's this disconnect. And one of the things I'm struggling with is, if you want to express that, then trying to find words. Words are part of the thinking.
Yeah, that's right.
Not part of the feeling. So, actually, it's almost how do I get that feeling? How do I express that feeling in words?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the interesting things about focusing, is it's inviting you to put it into language. So in a way, it does invite using our mind, you know, using or a certain side of our mind. I don't know how you want to put it, but it's kind of bottom up, you could say. So it's a letting that sense of, so we try and describe it, and that might take time and pausing and let, and then trying, and as we put it into words, we check those words back with it, so we don't get carried away in story. So we go, yeah, it's like, is it like this, is it like, and that's different from telling a story about it from the top down. Do you see the difference? So that's there is a kind of connecting up that happens, or even though there's a disconnect that we feel at first, like, and then it kind of joins up in the practice over time. So we are putting it into language, or that might be symbols, or that might be gesture, or may not be actual words that come in the practice. But we find some way of expressing it that fits. And this is, and that kind of, yeah, it's like inside out. We find words for what we feel inside, or symbols, and then give that. And often it's very relief. The relief comes to that when we find those right words. Or someone, even someone else might find them for us, but we go, oh yeah, that's it, you know, that's what it is.
That little thing there where you said check back with the bodies.
Yeah.
That's quite helpful actually.
Yeah, great. Okay, good. Yeah, that's what we often forget to do. That's right. So we check back, does it fit? Does it feel right? You know, when someone asks you a question or to do a job and you go, oh yeah, I'll do that. And we forget to go, actually, is this the right moment? Or is it, you know, we forget to check. That's the way, and I'm often falling into that even now. Like, God, I wish I'd have checked. Now I've got this massive commitment that I didn't even think I'd take on board, you know. So checking in all sorts of levels, that's a great thing that Jen did talks about and we practice in focusing, checking back, does it fit? Yeah. So good, thanks. So yeah, we'll talk a little bit about what it doesn't know. Or just touch on that a little bit. I suppose what I wanted to say, it's slightly cheekily really, it's just like, well, the body doesn't know everything. And what I mean by that, it means the body or our being isn't, we can ask more of it than knows, I suppose. Sometimes people approach focusing as a kind of, like there's some kind of all-knowing kind of thing down there that knows everything and everything. And doesn't know everything. It knows a lot more than we have up here. But we need to give it information. We need to give it experience for it to know something. And I'll give an example of this. So say you've got a decision between two things. Two courses. So say two courses. You might be one course of study or another. It's very hard to decide abstractly. Maybe you're good at this and very intuitive, if you like. But for most of us, it's like we have to go and find some real lived information. It's a bit like imagine. Or like, I don't know if you've anyone done internet dating, right? But you know, they might look great on paper, but when you meet them in person, the real information gets lived, and it's like, all right, okay, now it's completely different. It's like, so say this example of a course, you have to go and feel into the place, into the people that teach there, into the syllabus, into whatever it is about it. You need to get that lived information, and then your body's got something to resonate with or not, to check with, if you like. And then you might go do the same thing about the other course. So we need lived experience to get this felt sense. The felt sense isn't some abstract thing that kind of comes magically out of nowhere. I mean, there is, I guess it does tap into some things that are a bit mysterious, but it's not all knowing, I suppose. That's maybe what I wanted to say here. But it does know a lot more than we think, but it doesn't know everything. So yeah, don't ask more of the body than it can offer us. Let's just talk a little bit about focusing as a practice, a bit of types of focusing, just a little bit, just for those who are new to it, just to give that flavor. So focusing, yeah, if you like, I've already alluded to it as a natural skill, a natural human skill that if you're more embodied, you would have anyway. I imagine you wouldn't call it that. You would just be like, oh yeah, I just do that anyway. You check in, you notice what you're feeling, you have that deeper awareness of what feels right for you and you follow it. So it's a very natural skill, but it's also a skill you can learn, like in the way I teach and other people teach in all sorts of different ways, but you can learn it and then it becomes something you can do. Like just in a moment to moment life skill, you can tune into it and go, oh yeah, you might be talking to someone and go, that's not quite right for me, it's more like this. So you're kind of using focusing skills on the hoof. Or more formally, you sit down and do focusing with yourself. You know, you go through the method and methods described online in places, it's free. You know, you can do that. Just go through the steps, describe what you feel in your body, check back, notice it on your own. Take a bit of time to do that. Most people find that quite hard because we tend to drift off or go, oh, whatever, I can't. Don't feel anything, I'll stop, you know. So focusing on your own is a mixed bag for many people, but so great, we've got this other practice called focusing in pairs. It's a peer practice, which takes its form from co-counseling many, many years ago. It's what Jendlin recognized as dyad form of practice. And said, yeah, that'll work. So you take time to focus together. One person focuses, the other person listens, really unintrusively, without direction, just like they're offering their presence, their kind listening presence, a lovely practice. You would just be with them and they'd be with you. It's a paired practice. And it's another way of how focusing is used, or it's mixed in with other things. You may have come across it mixed up, mixed in with creative practices or therapeutic disciplines. Often therapists use pieces of it, or body workers, maybe intuitively or even knowingly weaving it in, you know, so it gets mixed in like that. So focusing, yeah, it's many different forms and also many different applications. So yeah, I might use it myself just for decision making, for guiding what would feel right moment to moment, but also through my bigger decisions. Yeah, for untangling difficult areas of my life, you know, reactions and triggers and difficulties that I might be having in my family, you know, I use it that for that quite a lot. For healing, you know, for kind of deep healing work, trauma work, really, really releasing or kind of moving forward things that are really stuck in your life. I think I mentioned creative, you know, kind of creatively approaching something, creative thinking, creative projects, that kind of what would feel right. Yeah, there's just a few examples of how people might use focusing. Yeah, any questions about that? Or any questions about focusing as a practice? And any respect. Or any aspect of it.
I've got a thought that was going through my mind there while you were talking about it. That, in terms of tuning into my body and learning how to listen to it,
yeah,
I wondered whether there are things that are not necessarily very concretely focusing that might be supportive. Something popped into my head about doing like Five Rhythms Dancing, for instance.
Yeah.
And just the whole idea of listening to the music and going with the music as a very direct experience of the body.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's a great example of something like that. It's very supportive or even aligned with focusing, you know, depending on how it's kind of led or practiced. But, you know, it's very much so, you know. I mean, anything that can help us get in touch with that, with our bodies more, or a deeper being, you know, anything that gets us out of our head, I think is helpful practice. And that's one of them, you know, or mindfulness, yoga, qigong, body work, yeah, movement disciplines, being in nature, you know, I do a lot of nature connection work. And so it's just like, well, anything can help us get, like, feel more, yeah, embodied. It's very supportive of this. Yep. Anyone else who just got no thoughts? So yeah, time for one more question. Oh, you speaking, Catherine?
Body work.
Oh, said it again.
What did you mean by body work?
Body work. I mean like massages and all the other body-based approaches to healing. You know.
Okay.
Yeah, like giving them, I mean receiving them, really. But you know, I guess both. But yeah, working directly with the body.
Okay.
So yeah, a couple of things just to alert you to of intro course I've got coming up. So I'm just going to put the link to that. So it just popped up. So that's an online course. So this is really the beginning of a whole foundation course that follows on through next year. You don't have to follow. You don't have to do all of it, but the very basics of focusing and listening I cover on this course. So that's on the 24th of September. So 24th of September, Tuesday. So it's 5 Tuesdays, 10 hours of training. Kind of gives you a good foundation of the skills of focusing and listening. So 2 hours a week, 5 weeks in a row. Apart from there is a gap, actually. There's a gap in that course in mid-October. And But anyway, over 5 weeks that goes on, and then that can be followed on with further learning if you want to. It goes on next year, so all of that is actually on that link there online. In-person trainings, and there's other related courses I do for once you know focusing. And tune, also I've got a free audio course, which is just like those little lead-ins that I offered at the beginning. You know, you can just sign up for that and you get like 4 sort of 5 minute long kind of explorations that you follow over 4 days, and that's just to kind of give you a feel for the focusing work. And then through my site, there's other links to other sites, lots of free resources from other focusing teachers around, and the focusing rich focusing website. So yeah, have a little look around the site. We've got articles, blog, videos, all sorts of things to support learning there as well. So thanks for showing up. Thanks for the questions. And yeah, and if there's anything that you want to follow up directly, please email me later. That's fine. I'll be around. I'll also be sending a link to this recording. So you can feel free to listen again or share it in whatever way you want to. So yeah, that's the end of our call. Feel free to unmute yourself and say goodbye if you wish.
Thank you.
Or wave or whatever. But yeah, Susan, I hope to see some of you soon. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye
now.
Bye.